This is the second in our series of talks about the Nicene Creed. Now, I should emphasize, we're not going to talk about the history of the Creed. It's a fascinating history, and there's some wonderful books on it. I can recommend them after the service. But we're not going to look at that complicated history. And we're not going to do a deep theological analysis of what we say. But we're actually going to think about what these core statements of our belief mean to us in our daily lives. These are the statements that are central to our belief as Christians. And last week we thought about our belief in God the Father. And if we believe in God, this immediately gives us a different outlook from those who have no religious faith whatsoever and think that this world is all that there is. We're in a different position from the start of committing ourselves to God. But this week we're going to go a step further and consider what it means to believe in God the Son, in Jesus. This is the second core statement of what we sign up to when we become Christians. And I want to emphasize, although the title is I Believe, it's actually we believe, what we believe as the body of Christ, what we all sign up to. And most of you will be very familiar with this statement. We say it every Sunday in church, and people say it at different times in between. If you're new to Christianity, or you're not yet committed to Christ, if and when you do become a committed Christian, that's what you sign up to. Belief in God the Father, and belief in God the Son. One of the questions people kept asking about Jesus was, who was he? People didn't quite get him. There was something special, but they weren't sure who he was. And that's one of the thing that's being referred to in this passage from Matthew 16. But it's certainly not the only time people are talking about, who is this man? Who does he say he is? Who do others say he is? Now, people who heard him speak and saw him perform miracles recognized that he was something special, but they weren't sure. Who was he? Some people saw him as a very charismatic teacher. Others, as stated in this passage, thought he was John the Baptist returned to earth. John, you remember, was beheaded. But they thought a miracle had happened and here was John the Baptist again. And some people thought he was one of the great prophets, like Elijah or Jeremiah. But Jesus asks Peter, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? And this is a wonderful moment, for Peter gets things wrong rather a lot. But for once, Peter actually gets it right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what it says in Matthew 16:16. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The statement recognizes two things. It recognizes Jesus as the long-awaited Savior. The word Christ means the same as Messiah. And it's the name given to the person whom the Jews were expecting, a great leader anointed by God who would rescue them from their oppressors. But it was going to be a great human leader, not a great God who suddenly plummeted down to earth. That's the human, fully human Christ. But Jesus is the Son of God, and that's what Peter also acknowledges. He's something more than Moses or any of the prophets. And as it's put in the creed, of one being with the Father. Now this passage, which has just been read, marks the point when the penny really seems to have dropped with Peter. And I suggest he used these words, that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Father. And he's getting there. I'm not absolutely convinced that the penny completely dropped until after Jesus' death, the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Peter was certainly getting the point. And I think it was very important to Jesus that somebody did get the point, because he knew that his life was coming to an end on this earth very shortly. So there's sort of urgency about the question. And now he knew at least one person had got the message, because that was important to the message being carried on. And I think it's also interesting to reflect on where this incident happened. Caesarea Philippi. I don't know if any of you have visited that place. I've been fortunate enough to visit it. But it was a place that was really heavy with symbols about pagan worship. There's temple to the god Pan. There were lots of sites where the god Baal was worshipped. And there's a temple to Caesar Almighty. You know, it wasn't a place where you might expect the true God to be revealed. But in fact, it was actually very important that the true God was revealed in this place of paganism. It was the counter to pagan beliefs. As Christians, we believe that Jesus was a real human being, but also God, fully human and fully God. And it's a tremendously important thing that we hold on to this duality of belief, in a sense. It's something quite hard to get your head round, isn't it? But it is essential to the Christian faith, and it sets us apart from people of other faiths who believe in God, and a lot of them do believe that Jesus was a great prophet, but they don't get it that he was also part of God himself. And I think there are even people of no belief who can see that there was this great teacher 2,000 years ago, but they have no concept of him being God. Well, I want to talk about the reality of Jesus, this real being with whom we can have a connection. I want to emphasize that Jesus was a real man. He wasn't a fairy story figure or somebody from myth, although I know there are people who think that, including at least one member of my own family. He was a real person. And there's plenty of evidence for that outside the Gospels from classical writers such as Tacitus and Pliny and the Jewish historian Josephus. And he did ordinary things that human beings do. He ate with his friends, he travelled with them, he joked with them, he got tired, he felt pain. And I suggest that at the end of his life, he felt fear and desolation. But this wonderful thing about Jesus being the Son of God, not just human, but part of the Trinity, he's not just a figure of the past. He's not just stuck in one time and one place. We can encounter him in our own lives today. He is not just tied to a particular time in history or a particular geographic location. And I was impressed by hearing people giving testimonies this morning. People encountered Jesus in a field in, is it Somerset? My geography is not great, but South England somewhere, you might meet with Jesus. But you don't have to be an artist to bring Jesus into the present. We can encounter Jesus in our own lives because he is this God figure as well as man. Where do we encounter Jesus as we go about our daily lives? We can encounter him in the Bible, obviously, when we take communion. And hopefully we encounter him when we sit in this place at church, praying and praising. But we may encounter him when we help at the night shelter. Those empty beds all waiting for people who are rough sleepers, and a team of lovely people coming to help them. We might find God on Ealing Broadway Station. I think I've encountered him there in the form of another human being. We might encounter Jesus in the supermarket. Please do continue to think on that when you go home after this service. And I'll just tell you one experience I had that's really stuck in my mind for 20 years or so. I was helping with a supper which we gave members of this church to people who were suffering from schizophrenia, drug addiction and alcoholism. They were a sad group of people, and we used to feed them, and then there'd be a Bible study. And I was sitting next to one of these men, a young man. As we ate, he was really pretty out of his mind, and I looked in his face and he looked in mine, and I could just see the face of Jesus. I have never forgotten that. That was truly moving. We must remember that Jesus is there in each and every one of us. So my final question to you is, do you recognize Jesus when you come across him? Are you willing to encounter him? What would your response be if you meet Jesus as you walk along the street, as you go about your daily lives? Something I think we can all ponder on.